Chapter 23, Chris. He hadn't been home long, and he was still exhausted. So when the phone rang, he almost let it go. Almost. Hello? Chris Chandler? Yeah? Who's this? Terry, from the grocery store. You know? From Addis Cadro? Am I catching you at a bad time? Oh, no, it's fine, Terry. What's up? Well, you said to call you if I thought of anything. Only this probably isn't much. It's probably nothing. But I did think of something. That last time I saw her, I remember what she was in such a good mood about. I remember I said her garden looked really nice and her face just lit up. And she said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful?" Or something like that. She said, "The neighbor boy did all that." She told me his name, but I forget it now. Chris waited in silence a moment, hoping for, expecting something more. Her garden had been important to her. That much he already knew. "Well, I said it was probably nothing." "No, I'm glad you called, Terry. Really, if you think of anything else." "Well, that's it, I guess. Just that she was all happy about the garden." "I appreciate your calling, Terry. I really do." "Well, I don't want to run up my phone bill. Bye." Chris hung up the phone, blinking slowly. It came in through the back of his mind in an unwelcome voice of Richard Greenberg. Three sentences echoing. Said she didn't pay him. He did it for free. Yeah, right. Kids love to do that. Richard was right. She paid a kid to do her garden. She must have, which had no bearing on this situation whatever. Useless. So she was happy because her garden had just been done. It meant nothing, but he couldn't let it go. Said she didn't pay him. He did it for free. Big favor for a kid, for anybody. What kind of kid would do that for free? And then he knew. Something magical in the revelation, because he'd asked Mrs. Greenberg for a sign. "Let me see something." And all the while, he'd been looking right at it. What kind of kid would do that for free? Same kind of kid who would keep doing it for free long after the lady was dead. He'd been looking at the next link back, and he'd driven away. He shouldn't have asked the kid if he knew about her will. What a stupid way to go at it. Why would the kid know about her will? Nobody knows how someone else is going to pay it forward. He should have asked the paper boy if he knew anything about the movement. The paper boy, he said out loud. He sat on Mrs. Greenberg's front porch. The weather hadn't changed. Or if it had changed back to hot in his honor. The neighbor lady across the street glanced out her kitchen window now and then, as though she'd do well to keep an eye on him. "Imagine how crazy she'd think I am," he thought, "if she knew I'd come 3,000 miles to sit here twice." A paper boy came by, on foot, walking the route with a cloth bag over his shoulder. A red-haired boy with freckles. He lobbed a paper at the house next door. "Hey, kid!" The kid froze, looked panicked, didn't answer. "I don't bite. I'm not supposed to talk to strangers." "I just want to know what happened to the other kid." "What other kid?" "The paper boy who was here last month." "He won the prize." "What prize?" "Best paper boy of the year. He won the week off with pay." "Oh." Chris thought of the nearly maxed MasterCard in his shirt pocket. It wouldn't keep him here another week. The red-haired boy was trying to hurry past. "What's his name? Do you know?" "Trevor." "Trevor what?" "I forget." Level with Mrs. Greenberg's walkway, the boy broke into a run and disappeared down the street. Chris began walking in the opposite direction. Passing the next-door neighbor's lawn, he briefly picked up the newspaper. The Addis Cadro News Press. He memorized the street number of their office on the main drag, El Camino Real. He found the newspaper office, sold them a song and dance about a national award for enterprising young people. They gave him a name and an address without question. He got lost twice trying to find it. Finally had to stop for gas and a map. When he knocked on the door, it was after 10 a.m. It wasn't until the sound of his knock faded that Chris felt awake enough to realize that the kid would not be home. Kids go to school on weekdays. A small, pretty, dark-haired woman flew out the door. "I'm 20 minutes late for work. Whatever you're selling, I ain't buying it." She pushed past him into the driveway and stood beside an old Dodge Dart, fumbled in her purse for keys, he assumed. The car was parked behind a late-model truck, stripped and damaged as though it had been through a meteor shower. "Shoot," the woman said. "Left my keys in the house." "What happened to that truck? Looks like somebody took a lead pipe to it." The woman turned the knob on her front door, then ran into it, as though amazed that it didn't open. "Shoot! I locked myself out!" She turned to consider him, as if for the first time. "Who are you, and why aren't you going away?" "My name is Chris Chandler. I'm a reporter. I'm looking for Trevor McKinney." "He's at school. Where did you think he'd be? And I'm late for work and locked out. And standing here talking to you ain't putting me in no better mood." "Did you leave any windows open?" "Just that high one." "Come on, I'll give you a leg up." He laced his fingers and offered his hands like a stirrup, poised under what he assumed to be the bathroom window. She stepped up onto his hands, surprisingly light. She reached up to the window, put her fingers across the screen, and pulled hard, bending the frame. The screen shot across the driveway, mangled, he presumed, beyond repair. She leaned the top half of her body through the window, and he hoisted her up higher. She disappeared. A moment later, she came barreling out the front door again. "So where's Trevor's school?"
"I'm late for work."
"You'd have been a lot later if I wasn't here."
"I wouldn't have locked myself out if you hadn't distracted me at the last minute."
"Where's that school again?"
"What do you want with my son?"
"Just want to ask him a couple of questions about a Mrs. Greenberg."
"I don't know no Mrs. Greenberg."
"He does."
"For all I know, you could be a kidnapper. I gotta go."
She drove off without so much as a wave goodbye, cutting a little close to his legs on the way out of the driveway. As it turned out, there was only one junior high school in town anyway. Chris stopped at the office, where he was given a visitor's pass and instructions to room 203, where Trevor McKinney was apparently scheduled to arrive for social studies class. When he stepped into the classroom, only the teacher was present. Chris stared at the teacher's face for a protracted moment, then glanced away. He felt he needed to look more closely, but didn't dare. "Chris Chandler," he said, and stepped forward to shake the teacher's hand, focusing awkwardly on his tie.
"I'm looking at for a Trevor McKinney. I was told he'd be here next period."
He flashed his visitor's pass.
"Yes, take a seat, Mr. Chandler."
The teacher seemed curious, but asked no questions. Chris glanced at the teacher's face again, and the man looked up, as if he could tell. Chris turned his eyes back to the blackboard, as though he'd planned to all along. The board was blank, freshly erased, except for a sentence in neat block lettering. "Think of an idea for world change and put it into action."
"Is that an assignment?"
"Yes."
"Interesting assignment."
"It can be."
"Any of the students changed the world yet?"
"Not yet. Some of them had good ideas. Trevor had a particularly good one." Three students walked in and slapped books down on desktops. Chris recognized the paper boy immediately. The boy looked back at him.
"Remember me?" Chris said.
"I think so.
From Mrs. Greenberg's house."
"Oh, yeah." The boy walked over and stood by his desk.
"I think I asked you the wrong question," Chris said. "So now what I'm going to ask is this. Did somebody do a big favor for you? And is that why you take care of Mrs. Greenberg's garden for free?"
"No, nobody did a big favor for me."
"You don't know anything about the movement?"
The boy's face looked blank.
"The what?"
Chris felt something sink in his gut. Another expensive trip to nowhere.
another dead end. What good would it have been? What good would it have done anyway? So the boy might have taken him one link back. Then it all falls down again. He stood to leave. Well, bye, Trevor said. Chris shifted his weight from one foot to the other and back again. Your teacher told me you had an interesting idea for that assignment. He pointed to the blackboard. The room was filling up with children now, a claustrophobic feeling.
Yeah, I invented this thing called Paying It Forward. It was for last year's class. I got the best grade. But you know what? It was a total bust.
That tingle hit behind Chris's ears. A hot feeling, slightly dizzy. He smiled.
Maybe it didn't work out as bad as you thought, he said.
From the diary of Trevor.
There are absolutely no words for how cool this is. First off, everybody's telling my mom what a great mom she is. And everybody's telling Reuben what a great teacher he is. And then they're saying, I'm a great kid. And I say, nah, not really. I mean, anybody could have thought of this. It's so simple. Sometimes I think, how could it work? That's so amazing. And other times I think, how could it not work? It's so simple.
The part about believing people might really do it. I bet that's the part nobody could get right before now. But you know what? If they want to tell me I'm brilliant and special, let them. It makes Mom and Reuben happy.